there are a lot of people who kind of think they're leaders and they're actually boss kind of types.
Right.
So this was something that I didn't want to have in my life. It was about the opportunity to be free and to start something.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This episode is powered by the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program.
My name is Milena Milic, and for the past 2 years, I've been working for a Swiss Entrepreneurship Program. So this is a Swiss project that helps empower communities in Western Balkans and also Peru and Vietnam, helping entrepreneurs and organizations that work with entrepreneurs be better.
Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast here in Macedonia. Yes, what? I am in Skopje, Macedonia. So excited to be here. And next up, we have our fabulous Women in Tech who is with Swiss Entrepreneurship Program. It is the reason why I've been able to connect with so many extraordinary women across the Balkan region. Hello, Nina.
Hi, Esprit. Lovely to have you here in Skopje.
Thanks. So, okay, Nina, let's get started. First, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Cool. So basically, I'm born and raised here in Skopje, Macedonia. I believe many of you will now Google it to see where exactly it is at. It's a small country in the Balkans with not a lot of prosperity, some might think, which is not very far from the truth, and not a lot of opportunities for young people, especially when I was growing up. So after I graduated in 2011, and this happened right after my first ever trip away from home in the States, I was doing a summer work and travel program over there. So basically, I was living in the States for about 3 and 4 months during the summer, working as a waitress, as a hostess, as a bus girl, as a whatnot during the summer. And that was probably the worst summer in my life. I had some health issues also happening for me over that. And it was the first time. I've been traveling since I was a kid, so it wasn't like a hard thing for me that I'm away from home. But this was the first time that I'm like moving out.
Yeah.
And for at least 4 months, which was initially planned. So, yeah, that was like the worst summer in my life. And I remember that day when I was coming back from the States back to Macedonia, one thing that crossed my mind, and back then it was the Hurricane Irene.
Yeah.
Was coming to New York, so more or less all the flights were canceled. Only ours and two more were on time, going New York to London and then back to here. And I was thinking, I was 23, I just turned 23 that summer, and I thought, oh, like the whole life is in front of me, now it's my time to like graduate and start working something that is business related, because I graduated electronic business. And I thought, if I ever come back to the States, because USA for me is really interesting when it comes to traditional business, like small home-owned businesses, but then also tech, you know? So I was also always kind of, I don't know, inspired by USA. And I was thinking, okay, if I ever come back to this, after this whole shitty experience,
yeah,
it will be when I have earned enough money so I can go and visit the West Coast just as a tourist, or if I go and is somehow connected with my work. But to think something like that when you're 23 and coming from Macedonia, I was like maybe crazy thinking. I was, okay, who would ever invite me to come and do business in the States? Like this small town girl, let's say, from Macedonia. It was like a ridiculous thought. Well, interestingly enough, last year, September, which means 7 years after, I was selected from the State Department and the German Marshall Fund as one out of almost 100 young innovative leaders to be a fellow and to go on to have a fellowship in Seattle for 2.5 weeks.
It's incredible. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. That was, and this time around, it was way better.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it was really connected everything with work and with startups and the things that I'm really passionate about.
And when would you say you first fell in love with technology?
I think, even if it sounds cliche, maybe since forever, I'm curious by nature. So I remember as a kid, like when my parents brought it from Germany, the first video cassette kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then I would explore if I can record something and how would I play. Then we had the first 245, the first computers, stuff like that. Then we got connected to the internet, and then the opportunities are limitless. I was just exploring and trying to set up an email account using the MSN, even before that ICQ, stuff like that. I would go to an internet cafe, and before I even had internet at home, I would go to an internet cafe, and all my pocket money, I would spend them there. It was just like a place where you can learn more, explore more, and I don't know, broaden your horizons when you're basically stuck in this small country, you know?
And when did you transition from, or when did you start educating yourself in your profession? Like, what did you go to school for?
So I think that it all started even in high school days. I was passionate about working on projects. And then when I enrolled in university, interesting story, I wanted to enroll in law and study in Bulgaria. And that year, Bulgaria entered the EU. So it was the hardest process ever to go and obtain a visa every single time you enter the country to just enroll in the university. And then I talked to my best friend, and she was like, so why don't you enroll with me? I'm going to study electronic business. And I was like, what is that? And then I looked at the program, and I was like, okay, this looks that it's going to be very creative. And very importantly for me, it's going to be like hands-on work during the study. So we had a lot of projects that we had to work on. So I think this is where it all started for me. But in terms of startups concretely, and why I love working in a startup ecosystem, and I built one over here, is a random situation. 4.5 years ago, I go to visit one of my friends who just moved to Stockholm in Sweden. And I went there, to be honest, to watch Drake live. Yeah, he's my husband.
Yeah.
Let's call it like that. So this was like the first moment of empowerment, because I've been saving money from my previous job. And this was the first time ever that I can buy myself a plane ticket.
Yeah.
And I can go to a distant country, let's say, and buy a ticket to go and see a show. By the way, concerts in Europe, especially in Scandinavia, are the most expensive ones.
Yes, Scandinavia, yes.
Yeah. So I felt really empowered that I can actually not ask my parents for money, or I don't know, but I had the money saved and to spend 1 week in Sweden. And during this week, so the concert was great. I almost got selected to be on stage.
Almost married. Yeah,
I got married there. And then after, I don't know, a couple of days exploring the city, she said, okay, now you've seen more or less everything that I wanted to show you, but tonight there is this startup event. Do you want to join? We are close by the venue. And I'm like, what is a startup? And she was shocked, because she was like, well, you graduated electronic business. Didn't it teach you there at university? I'm like, nope. This is the first time I'm hearing about the term startup, you know? So we entered the venue. It's the event called Stockholm Tech. It was at the Hilton, filled with people. Like when we entered, there were no seats left. And I heard the most inspiring story on stage. And this is like when I saw the vibe, the drive of the people there, I was like, okay, now I have to go back home, do my research and see how can I get involved in the startup ecosystem, and what can I actually do? How can I contribute? So this is what I did when I get back home.
And that's been your life ever since?
Yes, four and a half years.
Yeah. How did you discover Swiss EP?
Oh, interesting story. Swiss EP discovered me, basically. So when my story started, I started working as a storyteller for a medium from Vienna. I was selected to be the first and only startup scout for Macedonia. because nothing more or less was happening here and nobody was covering the stories from here in English. Mm-hmm. So this opened a lot of doors for me. Then I joined one startup from here, which is now super successful as one of the co-founders. And then at some point I started my blog called Startup Selfie, which is now on hold and I'm trying to get it.
I love the name though, Startup Selfie.
Yeah, it was like a 45-minute brainstorming session with myself and I opened the WordPress and I created it.
Yeah.
And so they were trying to find somebody from Macedonia that can cover, that knows the ecosystem and would like to work for the project. And they found me on LinkedIn. So back then I was in Estonia, in Tallinn, doing my interview blogs. I got this random LinkedIn message, which, by the way, is really super strange here. People don't get job offers on LinkedIn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, now maybe, slowly but surely. Yeah. But back in 2015, no.
Yeah.
It's very rare. And especially from somebody like abroad and stuff like that. And I set up, because I never decline a coffee whenever I can, even if I'm not connected with this person, if this person just reached out to me. And I met for coffee. I went to that meeting totally unprepared. And Jakob, my program manager, he showed up with all this project.
Your program manager, your future program manager.
Exactly. Yeah.
At the time, he was just some random guy you were meeting for coffee. Yeah.
Some random Swedish guy working on a Swiss project. Sounded really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys, Switzerland is not Sweden. Okay.
Yeah. He showed up with all the project documents and all this cool stuff that they are planning to do. And basically what he told me, he was like, well, basically what you do already, but now you're going to get salary for it. I was like, okay, send me the contract.
Yeah.
And then I will get back to you. In meantime, I tried to do like a research about the project.
Yeah.
But back then it was brand new, so I couldn't find anything online.
Right.
And I was really suspicious. Should I leave this job? Should I?
Yeah.
I don't know, you know. And interestingly enough, in that period, there was this hub, the opening of one hub, which had a potential to become Impact Hub Skopje.
In Macedonia, yeah.
In Macedonia, yeah. And there I see a former colleague of mine, because I was working for the UNDP before, and now she's working for the Swiss embassy here, and I'm meeting her and the Swiss ambassador at this event. And I ask her, hey, do you maybe know what is the Swiss entrepreneurship program about? And this person called Jakob, and she's like, oh, yeah, this is like a Swiss project that is going to be implemented here. And she's like, why? Because they offered me the job, but I don't know if this project really exists.
Yeah,
and she's
like,
yo, that's super cool. You're going to be that person.
Yeah.
Because we already knew each other. She was
It is really
thrilled.
Cool.
Yeah.
Swiss EP is dope.
It's dope. Yeah. I love my job.
Yeah. So pretty much what the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program does is they bring experts from around the world to come to the Balkan region as well as Vietnam and Peru and really foster economic growth and development for the local business communities, from startups to maybe small business people to even larger agencies, anybody in the local region that just really needs the support from foreigners and experts abroad. And so I'm an EIR, it's Entrepreneur in Residence, and we give workshops, we take meetings, we help make connections, we educate, all sorts of things. I've given speeches from universities to high schools to corporates to small workshops with seven people to a room of, I think it was like 100 people. Like, it's just a variety of kind of educational and value-based experiences for the local community to accelerate forward. Would you say
I fully agree, and I don't know if I would set it better. Thanks for that.
Yeah. And so it's great because every region has anywhere from, you know, a small handful of coordinators to, well, it never really gets more than a small handful. Mm-hmm. But every region does have a small, or every area has a small amount of coordinators, putting everything together, driving people from location. Like, we drove from Albania to Bosnia, and we've driven from Serbia to around. So you're really taken care of from every place, and you fly into town and you live there and you help.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so today,
this is how our ecosystem has grown now.
Like, yeah.
I'm super proud to say that when we started the project here, so I joined like a couple of months later, Macedonia was listed, we're talking about the Western Balkan countries, so Macedonia was listed probably the last. So it was Serbia,
yeah,
then Bosnia, then Albania, then Macedonia by ecosystem development, yeah, you know. And now I'm happy to say that Macedonia is second on this list. Yeah, based on the results.
Wow.
So the Womenpreneur Stories Initiative started last year in November, actually around this date. Six women that are either founders or investment managers that have inspirational stories. I started this because I wanted to showcase that we have ladies who are in leadership positions here, and to encourage other women to kind of reach that level, you know. And it just took off. I planned this event to be like for at least 20, 30 people and like a group session where they can share their personal and professional stories. But then in the first day, I sold out like 30 tickets. And by the end, I managed to organize everything in like 6 days. And we had plus 100 plus people in the exact room where we are sitting now at Public Room. So it was a super successful first event, or let's say a conference for this number for here. It's already considered as a conference. Interestingly enough, this whole initiative took off. So we're doing more or less monthly Womenpreneur stories with different speakers. Some of them are the entrepreneurs in residence that come to Macedonia. We also like to invite local women from here. And I was asked by people, my colleagues in Ljubljana, people that I collaborate with from Slovenia, to do, and we did, with my mentor from Seattle, we did their Womenpreneur stories. And then when I was in Lima in Peru, they're also interested to replicate this model. And we also did it with partners from Serbia in Niš, or Novi Sad, sorry. So the interesting part is that this initiative, and there is an interest, and especially 99% in the audience is women, who want some inspiration, who want that additional push. And I would like to also see, because this is not like a feminist movement, and even if it is, men should support it, and I want to see a balanced audience. And guys, like, let's be honest, you're not going to meet girls in a bars when you're watching football with your buddies. You're definitely having a full crowd of women here who you can easily approach to, but don't be socially awkward, like, just be you.
And one thing I'd like to say about the Balkan regions is it's not what you see in the media. I think as foreigners, we have this impression that it's like this rundown city and maybe tumbleweeds going by or something. And they're very robust cities with incredible people and just really developing the economic landscape.
And you have to say like how cheap it is here and how tasty the food is.
Well, you could tell that by my weight. Like I've pretty much eaten all of the Balkans.
Amazing.
Yeah, the food is great. Everything's great. But you know, the most dominant thing I'd say, and it's the most contrary to what the perception is you won't find a place that's more hospitable. When you come to the Balkan region, it's like the people welcome you into their personal living room, and the country is the living room, and then they just want you to feel at home and welcome. And it's just really contradictory to our perception of what goes on here.
Yeah, yeah. Do not worry about language barrier, because most of the people, even in grocery shops, even taxi drivers, yeah, they speak English.
And even if they don't, they're friendly and they want to do
exactly
right by you. I mean, look,
yeah,
always be safe. You can't do
like common sense safe.
Yeah, there's no utopia anywhere. Yeah. I mean, maybe if there is one, let me know. I'd like to check it out. But like, overall, people here love foreigners and they love and they love to be hospitable and welcoming. What's one huge obstacle that you've successfully overcome in your career, and how did you do it?
I think the first and only time I actually quit a place, because I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but I don't know if it's true now, but back then, like when I started my career, I had kind of commitment issues. So here people usually are raised by, oh, you better find a secure job for the rest of your life, blah, 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 blah. I was like, no, like I have to sign a contract for the rest of my life with somebody.
Yeah.
But then in the States, that extraordinarily like awful experience that I had that summer, I've learned that actually you can get fired and actually you can quit.
Yeah.
So it's not that you are stuck with somebody for the rest of your life, you know? So I had this opportunity to kind of manage and ran for the first time the Social Impact Award. I was really passionate about social impact and social entrepreneurship and stuff like that. I still am, but I'm not actually really focused on, in that particular area right now. But and then the first 3 months, it all went well. We did everything like super nicely for the first time ever, bringing it here to Macedonia. And then the next 3 months, this contract was for 6 months. And then the next 3 months, like I was doing some administrative things, something that was not even communicated beforehand. And whenever I put the subject about, okay, I seriously want to work with social entrepreneurs, you know, I want to build this whole ecosystem from scratch and stuff like that. We are not there yet. I mean, the whole country is not there yet. There's no potential. Maybe in like few months, maybe next year, maybe this. Every single idea of mine, I think it was pushed from the lady who, I mean, she was kind of, there are a lot of people who kind of think they're leaders and they're actually boss kind of types.
Right.
So this was something that I didn't want to have in my life. And it wasn't even for the salary or for the opportunities for traveling or whatnot. It was about the opportunity to be free and to start something and to kind of be creative in a way. Because I was shut down, it was like the most kind of scary day. How do I actually make this conversation with this lady? Like, what do I say, you know? And then plus on top of that, I didn't even had a new job. So this was the last day of my contract and I kind of managed to do it. And then after that, I was relieved, even though I was jobless. Like, you instantly feel this kind of relief moment.
You have to stay true to your heart, even when it doesn't seem like it's a smart decision. Mm. If it doesn't feel right in your body, it's not right.
Yeah.
Even if on paper, it looks like you're being crazy.
And it might sound cliche as ever, but there is a thing called female intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we intentionally try not to like hear or feel that intuition, but it's actually always the correct answer. We know what the right thing for us is.
Yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. Where can people find you online?
People can find me on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook. Almost everywhere. I also use Twitter.
And how do you spell your name?
NinaNikolikj.
Perfect. And has this been your first podcast interview?
Exactly. Yes. My first.
Love, love, love.
And it's my pleasure to be on your podcast.
No, and thank you for, you know, working with me to help serve the community here. It's just such a privilege. And we'll include all of Nina's links from the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program to her women empowerment work in the show notes to find out more. So be sure to check out the show notes. Thank you, Carl, our amazing teammate, for creating those show notes for us. If you want to connect with more extraordinary women in tech around the world, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Say hello on social at Women in Tech Show. That's at Women in Tech Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will talk to you guys. See you guys. Hear you guys on the next episode. Bye.
Bye-bye. This is Nina Nikolic. I am a storyteller, super connector, and entrepreneur. Also, I work as a manager of entrepreneurs in residence and ecosystem facilitator of the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program in Skopje, Macedonia. And you're listening to Women in Tech.
It would not be possible to celebrate all these women in tech who have been extraordinary here in the Balkan region without the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program. Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast.
This is a Swiss project that helps empower communities in Western Balkans and also Peru and Vietnam, helping entrepreneurs and organizations that work with entrepreneurs be better. What we're working on the most is empowering the community of entrepreneurs in Western Balkans. So that means Serbia, Bosnia, Macedonia, and Albania. And our team is working in Serbia and Bosnia. So one of our main activities is bringing foreign experts and mentors to work with the local entrepreneurs and managers and CEOs of companies. My name is Milena Milic. And for the past 2 years, I've been working for a Swiss Entrepreneurship Program.
To find out more about the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program, go to entrepreneur-in-residence.net. That's entrepreneur-in-residence.net.